For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like that word, forever. We're not on a 6-month reprieve or a 90-day wonder if we're going to be able to keep it. We're there forever. And you already know my definition of the word forever. It means forever. So we're with him forever. Now, today it's a joy to be here to teach the class. I think I taught it for 35 years when I was pastoring. I did pastor 35, didn't I, David? I thought you knew. But anyway, it's good to be back once in a while to teach again. And today's lesson is lesson number 6 in the series that we're in. And the title of it is Paul, the Church Planter, Part Number 1. The main thrust of the Apostle Paul's ministry was that of a missionary church planter. He made, as you know, three missionary journeys across parts of Asia and Europe. Now, someone has estimated that Paul probably traveled in those journeys combined over 12,000 miles. That's amazing, isn't it? And it was by ship, by camelback, and by feet. People back in those days walked a long ways. And on the way they had to go, in many cases. So Paul was that type of person, fully prepared to do what God wanted him to do. You know, that's a good question for each one of us today. Are we prepared to do what God wants us to do? To go where God wants us to go? To say what God wants us to say? Paul met all three of those qualifications. The setting of today's lesson takes place during the second missionary journey. Now, Paul began that journey with Barnabas. He ended it with Silas. And there's a reason for that. When they got ready to leave on the journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. That's Mark to us, the Gospel of Mark. He wanted to take him with them on that journey. But Paul said no. Paul remembered when Mark quit and went back to stay with the wife's folks for a few months. Went back and left the team. And so Paul did not like that. So the division between Paul and Barnabas was so sharp that Barnabas departed and they never met together again. But he picked up Silas, who made a great partner. You know, sometimes, and please don't misunderstand this statement, division can result in greater action, greater works, greater results. So we had two teams going out instead of one. Two different teams with two different people on each team. At least two, may have been others we don't know about. But this is a marvelous story. in this second missionary journey. There were two major cities that interested Paul, and there were two cities where he started or planted churches. Philippi, which became one of the chief cities of Macedonia, and the church that was formed at Philippi became one of the great churches of Europe. Then there was Thessalonica, and likewise, a great ministry came through the church at Thessalonica. When I think about church planting, I remember my own dad, who was a great church planter. During his ministry, he helped to plant over 50 independent Baptist churches in the Piedmont section of Virginia and North Carolina. Under his ministry, 100 young men surrendered to preach the gospel, four of whom were his own sons. So I have a lot to be thankful for, a great heritage and a great history behind me, and I praise the Lord for it. Now, we're going to look first at the church at Philippi. On one of our journeys to the Holy Land some years ago, we visited the city of Philippi. The ruins are still there. The ruins of the prison where Paul and Silas were imprisoned, those ruins are still there. So we could almost feel the presence of two godly men that were cast into the inner part of that prison because they made a strong stand for the gospel. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. Remember what Paul said? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the barbarian or the Gentile. Two classes of people, Jew and Gentile, and the gospel went to both, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Paul will serve as the apostle to the Gentiles while Peter serves as the apostle to the Jews. So we have two forks there, two paths that were followed into the Jewish world and then into the world of the Gentiles. What a marvelous thing it was to visit there at Philippi as well as Thessalonica. Now, we're going to look under the church at Philippi, number one, to capital A, revisiting the brethren. There was a reason to revisit the brethren. Paul was certainly not going to lead people to Christ, bring them together in a couple, in a group, and just leave them. So he came back visiting the brethren to establish them further in the faith, to disciple them, in other words. You know, that's an important ministry. Some of you, I'm sure, are involved in the ministry of discipling new converts in our church. Could I see the hand of some that might be in that ministry? Anyone in this class? Well, you ought to get into it. You've been sitting in this class for 40 years. You ought to know enough to tell somebody else. Paul will tell you in this text after a while you should be teaching others, you need to be taught. You've been taught for 40 or 50 years. I'm saying that as kindly as I know how to say it. I just don't know how to say it kindly. Some of you ought to be volunteering to be ones who would train and disciple new Christians. Now, just suppose that one of the young couples came in with a new baby. They sat that baby down on the pew and left it on the pew, left it on its own. Soak up what you can, baby. No, you're going to take that child back in the graded Sunday school. And we start them early around here. We don't wait till they get grown. That's too late. We have to start early and take them back there, and they're going to be taught the ABCs of the Christian faith. The rudiments, as Paul calls it, of the faith. So let's get busy in disciplining the new Christians. So they revisited the brethren. They had been there before, but they're now revisiting. And about 10 to 12 years later, Paul wrote the letter that we know as the book of Philippians. What it was in reality was a letter to the church at Philippi, encouraging them, teaching them, training them, enlightening them in the things of Christ. And we ought to be doing those things as well. And then comes capital B, responding to the Spirit. Now, Paul had a plan to travel through Asia, no doubt to establish other churches and to disciple other Christians. And they were set on continuing to reach the people in their tour of Asia. But you know, God had a different plan. You know, sometimes you and I have our own set plans. We want to go where we want to go and do what we want to do. And wait a minute, God says no. I want you to do something else. I want you to go over here. And by the way, they didn't just change a city or a state. God changed the continent, took them out of the continent of Asia and put them in the continent of Europe. Macedonia was in Greece, which, as you know, is a part of Europe. So they were placed over in Europe. And listen, God, please don't miss this. God is not going to change his plan to fit your program and mine. He's going to change our program to fit his plan. So as badly as Paul wanted to go on another tour or stay in Asia, God said no. So he responded to the Holy Spirit. Are you responding to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you? Now, God's not going to come to you tonight in a dream and say, I want you to... Listen, the reason men in the Old Testament and New Testament as well had dreams is because the scriptures weren't written at that time. And God used dreams to teach them, tell them what he wanted done. So they continued moving out of Asia and went into Europe. By the way, our forebears came from Europe, as you know, and not from Asia. So you see how God is working out that plan? Where would we be today, for example, if somebody didn't come from Europe with the English language to teach us and our forefathers the Word of God in our own language? So God worked out his own plan. We don't always understand the ways of God. If we could, we'd be infinite. But the truth of the matter is, we're all finite. We're limited. We must depend upon him and trust him. So he responded to the Spirit and changed courses and went into Europe, specifically into Macedonia, more specifically to the city of Philippi, which was the chief city of Macedonia at that time. Now, God's European plan was not fully made known until they reached the city of Troas. And I don't have time to read all of this, but as you read the background and the text of the lesson, you'll discover that they came down to a place called Troas, and it was there that Paul received a night vision. There appeared unto him in the night a man from Macedonia, over in Greece, over in Europe. And the man said to Paul in this dream, come over and help us. You know, there are people all over the world that need help. They are crying from every continent, every community, every city, every village, every hamlet in the world. Come over and help us. When we realize there are thousands of languages that have not one word of the scripture printed in them, they need the help. They need the guidance. They need the direction. I wonder if we're willing to answer the call. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul responded to the Spirit and moved into Europe. Could I share with you a personal experience? When I was just a young pastor still over on Wilbarger Street, we have some great memories from Wilbarger Street. God did a lot of great things, saved a lot of people, we baptized a lot of people, we tried to teach a lot of people. But while I was there as a younger preacher, and just a very limited attendance, on a good day, maybe 150. The telephone rang one day. And the man on the other end of the line identified himself as a chairman of the pulpit committee of a very large church in North Carolina. Thousands of people belonged to and attended that church. Prosperous church, big church. And he said, Dr. Barber, we want you to come and be our pastor. He didn't say, I want you to come and try out. He'd already heard me preach. He knew I was the best preacher in the country. Hello, that woke some of you up. He said, we want you to come and be our pastor. Well, when I gained my composure, I said, what? We want you to come and be our pastor. Well, that was an enticing thing. It sounded very romantic. Thousands of people, big city, big church, big salary, big benefits. So I started thinking about that. Now, I was ready to say yes. But you know what? The Holy Spirit said no. Holy Spirit said, stay where you are. And so here I am, 40 years later. Next week, the same man called with the same message. I wanted to say yes, but I couldn't. I wanted to respond to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit whispered, no, stay where you are. And you know what? I'm glad that I did. I hope you're glad that I did. I think about God gave us the opportunity to build this great facility, reach hundreds of people for Christ, even had a radio program for 10 years. And one day the manager called me up and said, Reverend Barber, do you speak Spanish? I said, see. I informed him that I did not. He said, well, we're going to a full Spanish format. That was the end of my radio broadcast. God enabled me, gave me the privilege of leading a handful of pastors to form and organize the Independent Baptist Fellowship International, out of which grew the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. And for 40 years now, the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary has been training young men to go out and do what? Plant churches or accept a church that's already in business or go to the mission field and plant a church on a foreign soil. And many of them during these 40 years have done that. So it pays to respond to the calling and the wooing and the direction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't go wrong as long as you go right. And following the leadership of the Holy Spirit is going right. And so I followed the leadership and I stayed where God had put me. And God has done some great things, and I praise his name for it. Well, capital C. Now I'm going through this kind of fast, and I'm not trying to read everything, but I'll read some of it. But capital C is receiving persecution. They that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Listen to what Peter said about it. Let me read what Peter said. And you might want to make a note of this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not anything strange for God's people to be persecuted. They've been persecuted since day one. Even in this story, Paul and Silas had their clothes stripped off of them. They were beaten with many stripes. They were put in the innermost part of the prison that was reserved for criminals and put their feet in stocks where they couldn't move. But did that stop them? No. We'll see that in a moment. But rejoice, verse 13 says of 1 Peter 4, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. Did you get that? Partakers of Christ's sufferings, plural sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy if ye be reproached for the name of Christ. Happy are ye, for the, watch it now, the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, the world's part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So, don't think it's strange if somebody, as the old saying has it, cusses you out when you knock on the door and invite them to church and to Christ. But most people are decent. There are a few nuts in the world. Some of them are very hard to be cracked. But they're out there. They're God haters, Christ rejecters, and they will cuss you out or talk down to you or tell you how foolish you are to be going out knocking on doors and asking people to come to Christ. They think that's strange. And you might, and don't misunderstand this, I'm 29 years old and I've never been misunderstood, so I don't want to start now. I started out that way. Some of you remember that. I stayed 29 for 89 years. But the time may come, and the way things are going in our country today, that time may not be too far off when we will actually suffer persecution for Christ's sake. We may be locked up one of these days. I wouldn't be a bit surprised the way we're going now, what will happen to us. But don't think it a strange thing. Don't think something strange has happened to you, because the people of God will suffer persecution. That's what the book says. and the book is right. Now we go to capital D, reaching a household. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and through verse 34, reaching a household. Now those other scriptures, like the text scripture, you can read, but I do want to read you this because this is powerful. Acts 16 and verse 25, and you're probably already familiar with it. You've heard it preached. Some of you preached it, and all of you have read it, I'm sure. And here it is. And at midnight, Paul and Silas complained about, no, they didn't complain at all. It's so easy for us to complain. Somebody hurts our feelings. Somebody gets our seat at church, and we quit church because of it. We get mad. Well, there are plenty of seats. I know you're used to one, but you can get used to another one. I'm getting kind of stiff on this thing this morning. Because I want to tell you, it kind of burns me up when these people get their feelings hurt and quit church over nothing. And I've been in it long enough to know that happens week after week. Well, I can't go back over there. Nobody speaks to me. Well, how many people do you speak to? The people that I've known through the years as pastor that always said, well, no, and I've gone to their homes when they missed three Sundays, and I've gone, and they've said, well, nobody speaks. I say, well, to whom do you speak? Do you lead out and speak first? Well, they've been members longer than I have, so I think it's their part. Listen, it's your part to speak. It's everybody's part to be friendly in the house of God. If we're going to be friendly anywhere, it ought to be in the house of God. Well, that's enough of that. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, watch it, unto God. They didn't sing praises to people. They sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. You know, God can do anything he wants to. He could have sent an angel down and said, now look, you guys ought to straighten up around here. No. But he sent a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Now watch this carefully. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, I've seen some singing that put people to sleep but not wake them up. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, under the Roman law, any jailkeeper that allowed a prisoner to escape, they took the jailkeeper's life. So he knew when he saw all the doors open of the prison and all the prisoners he thought were gone because all the doors were open. And so he drew out his own sword and was going to kill himself. He wanted to die at his own hand rather than letting the Romans kill him. I can understand that if we know what the Romans would do to a man. Awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul, watch this now, Paul's going to intervene here, cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, the jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What a question that was. And you know, people now for 2,000 years have been asking that question. What must I do to be saved? And you and I ought to be ready to tell them what they must do to be saved. Go find the First Baptist Church and join it. No, 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 no. Turn over a new leaf. No, no, no. You'd have to cut down a tree to do that. They said, now watch this, very simple. Why do people want to make something complicated out of something that's so simple? Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Verse 31 said, and they said, that is Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, believe what he did, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him, now watch this, the word of the Lord. They made it plain. They gave him God's word. And to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway, that is immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a wonderful picture that is. Here's a man, a jailer, a Roman, and he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ that night, and he was saved. And all of his household, reaching a household, Acts 16, 25 through 34, they were all saved and baptized in that night. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have a whole family saved and baptized in the same night? What a marvelous picture that painted. What a good thing that was. How happy Paul and Silas must have been, though their backs were sore. But the jailer washed out all the dirt and grime from the stripes, sat them down at the table and fed them a good meal, baptized them. Baptized him and his family all in one night. Then we have for capital E, we're leaving now, releasing from the prison. They released Paul and Silas. And number two is the church at Thessalonica, and I don't have time to read all this, but you can read it. The church at Thessalonica. Remember I said there were two cities that Paul was very much interested in. One was Philippi, the other was Thessalonica. And so in both of those cities, he planted a church. And he went back and reasoned with them from the scriptures. And they reaped the harvest. And they were sent on their way. God worked out his plan, because Paul responded to the voice and the pleading of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us over the years. We've seen so many wonderful things happen. Thank you for Worth Baptist Church. Thank you for what's happening in these days. Our pastor, the staff, and the people in this class, and everybody in it. Bless us, we pray, through this day, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. For his sake, with thanksgiving. Amen.